Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. It's a Monday reaction, just a quick reaction. We're going to do snap reactions tomorrow. Just like to do this quick sort of framing of the week, talk about some injury stuff, and just some storylines that I saw. I'm just going to start with Sunday night. A lot of things going on. We were discussing in the group me chat, in the Analytics Dynasty group me chat, that there was, with the Davante Adams. I mean, Davante Adams. Listen, I'm no brain, surgeon or neurologist or anything like that, but I can see someone that's knocked out when it's apparent, and it was pretty apparent that he was unconscious on the field. And that, I'm not laughing at that, but the absurdity of him coming back in is just preposterous. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it. So I just hope he's okay. And obviously for the sake of a human being, and this is a player who has a history of head injuries, and we're invested in. Like, we want to see him safe. We want to see him, not terribly injured. So that was troubling and concerning. I will say, just again, with that game, I thought Garoppolo, you had some aspect of like, hey, if Garoppolo doesn't, if he disappoints, like, this could be really a defining drive of his career. I mean, they end up losing, but absolutely, that could have been a defining drive of his career, because if they lose, now they're 2-1. That ultimately does happen, but it is not because Garoppolo per se. It's that Rodgers makes a couple of great plays and they make a field goal, right? I mean, that's the Green Bay offense came back, and it was sort of the defense that ultimately let San Francisco down. But that's, the big thing there is I thought that, hey, you could see a drumbeat for Trey Lance if they don't sort of make this happen. I'm not sure. Again, 6.4 yards per attempt, below 50 QBR, which is, subpar, 87.2 quarterback rating. Like, those aren't good per se, but I'm not sure with a franchise that seems entrenched on playing him, and they put up 28 points and lose, I'm not sure that they're going to be clamoring to move on from this current situation. So I would be, if you're holding on to Lance, like I'm still holding, this isn't changing my opinion, but I thought you could see the beginning of the drumbeat for next week. I don't think that's probably going to be what happens now. I wouldn't put money on any guess or speculation about San Francisco, but I thought that was something that we would see, and I don't think that's going to be the drumbeat now. Sermon, I'm not going to spend this entire show. This isn't a Sunday night football breakdown. Sermon, 12 carries, 31 yards. He scores a touchdown, so that sort of saves you. He goes 2 for 3. So, again, he sort of ends up accumulating double-digit points, so you don't hate it. It's not what you wanted. You want a huge breakout game against a defense that can be beat up. That just didn't really happen. So, we'll see here. I think this is going to be an interesting to watch, like, week to week. Maybe they don't even have an answer there. I don't know. I'll be interested to see. He's going to be one that I'm going to be watching. We're going to be searching the trade database here this week on Sermon, and I got some trade stuff coming up that we'll be covering. So he's definitely going to be at the forefront there. And when you just look, he does make it into the rushing yards over expectation. Notably, he is plus 0.34. So one of the top 10 performers on the week, actually. So as not great as it seems, it's actually above baseline based on what he was forced with. Now, just by way of reference, there's it's minimum 10 rush qualifiers. And so there was only about 10 or 12 guys that made it sort of above baseline, and a lot of them below baseline this week. So Notable there that he's actually one of the better performers this week, even though you're going to see the 10 for 31 line and people are like, oh, he sucks. Like, just be careful on some of that narrative stuff that can go by the wayside. Okay, let's do some rundown. It's obviously a good week for Madison, too. I should have probably led with that. I was joking in the group me chat earlier in the day that, like, this is, like, the pain and suffering because, like, if this goes bad, you're, like, waited all this time for a bad game. So we get a good game. And, you know, I think the Madison, like, I heard someone, a bigger name, say, like, Madison's proven that he can't play. I don't think that's true. Like, that's categorically not true, in my opinion. And when you sort of go back and look, the Madison arc, right, he was hurt. If you sort of go back in his career and look at sort of how it has been so far. So this is year three. In the first year of his career, he sort of got that. There was that week 16 game that Dalvin Cook missed, and it ended up being the Mike Boone week, and because Madison was hurt too. So that was like the big thing there with Madison being injured, that like you, that could have been, it was such a glory situation. You're like, oh my God, you get a spot starting in the championship game. Like that's outrageous. And it didn't ultimately happen. Then you sort of fast forward to 2020 and he has the huge game. If you remember this, he goes actually against Seattle, by the way. So this was at Seattle. And I forgot this fact as I was preparing for this week, I totally forgot that it was at Seattle. But October 11th last year, Dalvin Cook goes down. Madison goes 23 touches. He goes 112 on the ground, 24 through the air. Again, no touchdowns, but and again, it's a bench play, so a totally non-predictable starting situation. And then what happens? He comes back the next week, and if you remember, like it was actually the worst game of Kirk Cousins, like one of the worst games of his career. He goes out and throws like a bunch of picks. He throws like three picks in the first like 20 minutes. It was definitely the first half, but like I thought it was in the first like 20 minutes. They got down. They get absolutely rolled early on, and he ends up throwing for like 380, something like that. Like a huge, huge game statistically afterwards. Like when you look at it, you're like, oh, it's a huge number in terms of what he actually put down, but it was, you know, it was garbage time for 40 plus minutes type of deal. You know, they led 20-0 at halftime, right? That's the sort of house. It was just a drubbing. Atlanta led 23-0 with 10 minutes and 45 seconds left in the third quarter. So like that's the type of just butt kicking that it was. It was 33-7 at a point, right? And then they end up throwing a couple touchdowns to get back into it later on, yada yada. But be that as it may, right? This was absolutely a game script thing where, yeah, Cousins goes 343, three touchdowns, three interceptions. But it was Madison that ends up going 10 for 26. And you're like, what the heck? You know, this wasn't what we bargained for. It was supposed to be like the line was pretty close. You know, it was projected to be a high scoring game that he could potentially benefit from. And this is what we got. That wasn't on Madison. Like that wasn't Madison's fault. Right, they got behind, and it wasn't the fault of Madison either, in the sense of that offense last year didn't run through the receiving game for the running backs quite as much. We haven't gotten the routes run for this week, but that was very much a situation where it just wasn't conducive. They didn't run a ton of stuff through their running backs in terms of routes and that sort of thing, and you know, that's, we've seen a little bit different this year where they're actually doing much more of that. We see it this week. So, you know, I just look at that and I think that kind of showed to us that like, hey, this wasn't a total loss, right? This was it was a disappointing game. And I think that's the game people go back and think about and you're like, oh, like he was a total letdown. He gets another spot start in week 17 last year. He goes 21 for 95. Again, useless games, by the way. Like, absolutely useless game. So his two best games of his entire career have been when they didn't matter. Right? Week 17, no one plays. He goes 21 and 95, a touchdown. 3 for 3 through the air, 50 yards receiving, and another touchdown, right? So this is a 2-touchdown, 145-yard performance. And so this isn't a situation where this guy can't play. It's the thing that we remember being the most painful, which was the spot start at Atlanta. Sorry, it was a home against Atlanta, too. It wasn't even at Atlanta. It was home against Atlanta. And they, right, that's the one we remember. And everyone's like, hey, you know, this was just him not being good. It was totally not that. And, you know, so I think he's actually proven that he can play. So we'll see, you know, what this brings. And this will sort of delve into some of the stuff about, you know, about the injuries here that we want to look at. But, like, you know, Dalvin Cook's not, I don't think, a guarantee to play next week. Dr. Gene has him as questionable for week 4. So we'll see there. Maybe this is a multi-week starting span that we get. That would be pretty interesting. And, you know, as I was sort of going through this thing, like, I this week I talked to a couple people I trust and, you know, really started hashing it out. And it, you know, I sort of evolved on it because I went back to the spot where I was like, this, you know, we're going back to the pain of that Minnesota Falcons game, and that really anchored in my mind. And I've told this story before, and it's worth talking about this because I think this makes an impact on how we view what we do. That night, I was so annoyed at the whole thing that I ended up going out and I was like splitting wood, like in the dark. Like, I was just needed to blow off some steam about that whole, I was like, we wait for this whole beautiful situation to start Madison and then we get this. And it was just totally frustrating. I hearkened back to that when it became clear that Cook wasn't going to play. And then ultimately, like, I started there, and, you know, some people in the Football Guy staff chat were like, this isn't a great situation, yada, yada. I just kept looking at it, and I'm like, all right, wait a second. So Dalvin Cook would have been like a top 8 play. You're playing the worst rush defense in the league. They've gotten gashed 2 straight weeks. You're playing them at home in the biggest total of the week. What are we missing here? What is the disconnect that we don't expect, right? If we don't believe that running backs truly matter at a significant margin over one another, even if Alexander Mattison is 80% of Dalvin Cook, and I don't think there's, like, you know, we could sort of debate that, but that's a story for a different day. Even if that is true, just accept that as true. Why is he not a top, like, 16 play? And I sort of started to look at it, and I put him in over Edwards-Helaire just because I said, like, I sort of trust it more, honestly. It was close. Like, if you took the other side, I don't think it was unreasonable. That was sort of the decision that I made. You know, and I pitched in a league where I was with Chad. We co-own a league and co-own a team, and we had a phone conversation about that. You know, who do we start, him or McLaurin, right? So, like, I do think it was, as the day went on, it sort of boosted it up. And so I think this is a good example of, like, don't let your prior experiences with a situation cloud your impact, cloud your ability to actually judge the situation, right? Judge the present. And we sort of get stuck on some of that prior scar tissue, if you will. And, you know, this was a good situation, and you just had to sort of follow it through and do the work on it. So that's ultimately my thought on that. I mean, I just think I'd cover that a little bit because it does deal with some of the stuff, and it sort of it does deal with some of the stuff that we deal with, which is some of the bias stuff. So, so we'll hope to see here going forward, you know, what their situation here with Cook is coming up. They're home against Cleveland next week. So, again, another high total, like 52.5 as of right now on Sunday, on Sunday night / early Monday morning. So it's going to be one of the higher totals of the week. So we'll watch there with the Cook situation. Okay, injuries. And so we've got Tua, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Tyrod all on IR. They're a couple weeks out in terms of eligibility return. Fitzpatrick's probably later in the week. Washington got housed by the Bills this week. So I don't know what they're going to, you know, what Fitzpatrick's going to return to, but that's going to be an interesting watch. Dalton, Like it's probably a couple of weeks out still. So I don't think Fields is going to give his job back, although he played pretty bad, but their offense was pretty bad generally. So we'll see there. I don't, you know, it's interesting. Everyone's like, oh, here comes the savior. Oh, man, like I actually like Fields, but this isn't setting up well for him because what this offense is going to do isn't what he's, you know, built to do as a quarterback. So we'll see here. I'm pretty dubious about what his outlook is this year, and I think he could be one of those guys that's like a falling value player. All right. So Christian McCaffrey, actually, Dr. Jean has him as doubtful for this upcoming week. So I think Chuba Hubbard's going to be really an interesting one. If you can get a second plus, I don't know if that's gettable. You know, I was talking I was doing some reading, I should say, and it does look like that McCaffrey's injury might be a multi-week thing, right? It's back into week five is the plus is the Dr. Jean expectation, and just has the feel of more of like the middle severity, which is 4, 5, 6 weeks somewhere in that range, than just being a mild one, just with some of the language that was used. So I'll be interested to see that. I'll be interested to watch later in the week if they put him on IR, because that's still a possibility. We would look for that maybe later in the week to happen to sort of clear up their roster situation, and then he misses three games at a minimum. I would look for that to potentially happen. And if it does, like that, I actually think that opens up the ability to maybe get a second plus for Chuba Hubbard. I don't think you're going second plus Chuba Hubbard to a first, but I would... You know, I would add to Chuba Hubbard in a second to get a first, and I would do that. So I think that's gonna be one we'll watch for. And I'm gonna do some trade stuff this week. In a pod, I'm probably gonna have a guest on, and we're gonna do some trade stuff on some specific stuff. So we'll talk about him once we get some data in. We're gonna do it midweek, so that way we have some trades to discuss. Darrell Henderson, rib cartilage injury. And it looks like this is something that's pretty painful. So we'll see here with this, if he's able to play. It's looking like he's potentially questionable for week four. Josh Jacobs and actually Peyton Barber and I actually went to him in a couple of spots. It felt gross doing it, but he was a home favorite. And I was like, let's roll him out there as a spot starter. And there he did it. He performed well. I mean, he's basically averaged 20 carries a game in the past 2 weeks. So not a horrible situation if you're, if you're just looking for replacement level quality of play. Of course, next week they are going to be they're actually on Monday night. They'll be at the Chargers, who, you know, they give up some stuff on the ground. So that'll be an interesting watch there, and see how they play that game. But that's an interesting spot start. Again, even if you have Jacobs, if you don't have Peyton Barber roster, like see if he's available on waivers or anything like that, because he was still lurking out there in some spots. So that's a potential opportunity there for another spot start. And listen, they're committed to doing that. It's not the Drake role. It's absolutely the Jacobs Barber role. I actually think, if anything, this whole situation is probably better news for Jacobs when he comes back. You're like, all right, well, we know that Drake's not taking his job. So it's a really, it's actually solidifies his job quite a bit. Elijah Mitchell, we're still waiting to see sort of what happens with his shoulder. He's probably questionable for week four. I'm not sure Sermon did enough to take the job tonight, but we'll see. Pretty gruesome injury, I guess, for James White. I didn't see it, but it's a right hip injury, something bordering between the Tua injury and the Ryan Fitzpatrick injury, which is similar. And I guess one's a hip dislocation versus a subluxation. It's sort of the same family of injuries, but the subluxation is less bad, I guess, less severe. So we'll be watching that. It's something that it looks like we should get relatively early news on this week. He's going to go on IR week 7 plus, probably the return at best. So probably much later on in the season than that, if he plays at all. And I'd be watching. I mean, that has consequences, whether that's J.J. Taylor. We'll see snap reactions in terms of who ran their routes. But J.J. Taylor, if that's maybe Brandon Bolden's more involved, Damian Harris, you know, we'll sort of see. Maybe Ramondre Stevenson plays more. We'll have to see there. I think that's going to be an interesting thing we're going to need to watch for. And it's probably not something we're going to know in week four, but there's, I think there's still ceiling on a, on a Damian Harris breakout. So that could be what potentially kicks us over into that. So be watching for that. Hopeless romantic on that situation. Giovanni Bernard dealing with a left knee injury. I'll be interested to see the snap stuff. Anyway, he was playing and relevant. He scored too, but it's like absolutely negative game script situation, and they're just not going to be in that. So it's pretty fraudulent to me. Like, I've caught him in a bunch of spots. Like, I had a fair share of them, and I couldn't get anything for him. So, and I was like, I'm never going to start him. So I just caught him. So we'll see how that goes. Rashad Penny, probably doubtful, still out. And those are really the big names and things to watch for. Just be on the lookout for some guys eligible to return here. Anthony McFarlane looks like he's eligible to return week four plus from IR. So is Darrington Evans. I've caught him in a couple spots where I just couldn't hold him. McNichols seems like he's the guy at present, and I'm not sure when Evans is coming back. So I just, you know. Maybe I'll add him back if he comes back and is healthy. We'll have to watch for that. But that's the interesting spot there. I didn't see this, but Tyler Lockett had a knee injury. I haven't seen the actual play, but I heard about it. He actually returned to the game. It looked horrific from what I was told. But he was able to return, so he should be good to go for week four is the hope. Eskridge there in Seattle, concussion protocol. We'll watch for that. A.J. Brown left with a hamstring strain. We'll have to see the length of that. Julio, I think, is coming on a little bit too. So we'll have to watch for the beneficiaries. I don't know who the beneficiary in Tennessee is going to be if A.J. Brown is injured, but that will be, you know, Chester Rogers or something. I don't know. We'll have to watch for that. Deontay Johnson, you know, missed this week. It's a week four questionable type situation. We'll have to watch for that. You know, and Juju also injured here. So it's up in the air. Maybe it's a spot start for James Washington, but good luck trusting Ben Roethlisberger at this point. Just not. It's pretty uninspiring, to be honest with you. I saw the last play, the do or die play of the game. It was like 4th and 10 or something. It was 4th and I believe it was 10, if not longer than that. And he threw like a behind the line of scrimmage check down to Najee Harris, and it's like you just can't like. What's the point? You know, what's the point of all that? So that's kind of the disappointment in which we have with Roethlisberger at this point. T. Higgins missed this week, left shoulder injury, like might be next week, sort of looking for that type of return. Antonio Brown's on COVID, so we'll see there what his return looks like. Hamstring strain for Sterling Shepard, hamstring strain for Darius Slayton. Both of them, you know, we'll be watching this week. KJ Hamler knee injury. Like, I don't know. I think if he's not going to be an IR, like in safe leagues, he's a tough stash if he's going on IR. Just really is. He's just a tough stash. Hamstring strain for Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Concussion for Elijah Moore. Jameson Crowder has a groin strain. He's out. It's a multi-week injury. Hamstring strain for Danny Amendola. Multi-week injury. That's pretty much the story at the wide receiver position. We'll be watching for, Judy's out still. Curtis Samuel's going to be eligible to return here coming up. But, you know, it's probably more doubtful here coming, you know, in the next couple weeks. It might be more the middle of the season type of return. Be on the watch here for Michael Gallup, potential week 5 return, as well as Rashad Bateman. And that's pretty much it there. And then you got Gronkowski suffered a rib injury but came back, so that's good to see. Ferkser has a left knee injury, again dealing week to week here. James O'Shaughnessy, week 6 plus for IR return. So that's pretty much the story here in terms of overall. Of Dalvin Cook, just to sort of re-hit that. But, you know, it looks like he's probably, like, it's questionable for this week. So, if he plays doesn't play week four, like, week 5 probably is the type of return for it. Darrell Henderson has a chance to play week 4, but you really need to see him practice. And Week four is a potential for Josh Jacobs, but we really need to look at like early week practice reports, and they're playing Monday night, so we're going to need to make a decision on that. So this is the big news and notes there that we'll be watching for. Again, I'll have snap reactions. I'm going to do snap reactions a little bit different this week. I'm going to do it positionally. So I want to do some rundown of like some, I'll still do the snaps and all that stuff, but I'm going to look at sort of the macro picture, just maybe if there's some arbitrage opportunities to identify sort of within the position, potentially look at that. So we're going to look at, like week to week scoring or, some of the, where we are right now, touchdown rates, that sort of thing. Just potentially do a deep dive on all of that. So that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.